This is the money management reading, pages 12 through 25. Page 12, valuing your values. Sometimes the decision about whether something is a need or a want depends on your values, the ideas and beliefs that are most important or most meaningful to you. You probably don't realize it, but all your thoughts, decisions, and actions reflect what you value and how much you value it. Because many influences shape what we value, everyone's set of values is different. For example, financial security is a basic need everyone has, but what that means is different to each of us. Selena has financial security from her parents right now. When she needs money, they usually give it to her. She worries about what she'll do when they stop helping her out, so she's decided she needs to save some money. Basically, that saved money is what it will take to make her feel financially secure so she can live on her own after graduation. Michael's steady part-time job helps him feel more financially secure right now, although he still gets stressed out about money. One of his top values is independence. He believes that a job that pays twice as much as he's earning now would help him feel secure enough that he wouldn't need to rely on anyone else for money. Activity 1.5, my values. What three or four things are most important to you? Why is each most important to you? So you fill in the value and why it's important in the chart. Score with goals. If you were given a birthday party for your friend, would you just throw it all together at the last minute? Of course not. First, you'd have to get the okays from her parents or your parents. Then you need to decide whom to invite and send the invitations far enough ahead of time that a guest wouldn't have made other plans. You also would have to figure out what you'll serve to eat and drink, decide what you're going to wear, and shop for food. And if you're having the party at your house, you no doubt would clean the place beforehand too. In other words, you would decide on a goal, a great birthday party, and work backwards to figure out everything you need to do to make it happen. You should do exactly the same thing with your money. Many people spend, and then wonder why they don't have enough money when it's time to pay bills, or why they never have the money for things they really want. If they had a set clear goal, created plans to achieve them, and followed the plans as faithfully as they watched their favorite TV shows, they'd be much less stressed and a whole lot happier. The first critical step, though, is to figure out the desired end result. Fuel your dreams. Money can't buy happiness, but it does play a big role in helping you achieve what's most important to you. Here are a few examples of personal goals that require money. Can you think of more? Attending prom, taking dance or guitar lessons, going to band or 4-H camp, going to college or a training school, get a place of your own, getting married with a fancy wedding, starting and supporting a family, saving the polar bears. By figuring out what you need to make your personal goals a reality and setting financial goals to get you there, in no time you'll be on your way to enjoying those things. Get smart with goals. Selena mentioned to her older brother that she wants to save some money before she graduates from high school. When he asks her how much, she doesn't have a solid answer. When Michael tells a coworker about needing to get new tires, he's shocked to learn from her that a set of tires costs about $500. Selena and Michael both realize it's time to get smart about their goals. They need goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. Smart goal guides. Specific. What exactly needs to be accomplished? Who else will be involved? Where will this take place? Why do I want to accomplish this goal? Measurable. How will I know I've succeeded? How much change will need to occur? How many accomplishments or actions will take place? Obtainable. Do I have or can I get the resources needed to achieve the goal? Is the goal a reasonable stretch for me, either out of reach or nor too easy? Are the actions I plan to take likely to bring success? Relevant. Is this a worthwhile goal for me right now? Is it meaningful to me or just something others think I should do? Would it delay or prevent me from achieving a more important goal? Am I willing to commit to achieving this goal? Time bound. What is the deadline for reaching the goal? When do I need to take action? What can I do today? The SMART acronym is basically a checklist for creating turbocharged goals that will help guide you to success. After going through the questions, Selena decides on the following goal: to have $1,000 by August 1st of the summer after high school graduation, so I don't have to worry about money emergencies when I'm on my own. Starting today, I'll put $25 into my savings account each month until then. Michael does some research on what tires cost and sets his goal at saving $500 in the next month. But then he realizes this is not a realistic goal, given what he's earning right now. So he tries again and decides on the following goal: to transfer $40 from his weekly paycheck into a savings account over the next 3 months to have at least $500 set aside to buy new tires for his car. Satisfied that they start listing other goals they want to set, help them make the goals smart in the activity that follows. Activity 1.6, SMART Goal Makeover. Creating SMART goals will help you set you up for success. Can you tell what SMART criteria are missing from the goals below? Rewrite Michael's and Selena's statements into SMART goals. Compare your changes with a classmate or the online examples at www.hsfpp.org. So the goal for Selena, save $200 for a trip to the outlet mall and buy a new MP3 player. Turn those into SMART goals. Michael, save money for college next year and buy a new computer in January. Turn those into SMART goals. Are we there yet? Deciding that you want something and buying it right away is called instant gratification. You saw how well that worked for Michael, though, when he bought the new jacket. You might even know from your own experience how buying on impulse can get you in trouble. We usually classify goals into one of three categories, which you can see in the following graphic. So the goals are short, medium, and long. Short, medium, long-term goals are delayed gratification. The only difference is how long you delay. The further away your goal is, the more commitment and patience it will take to reach it. Breaking up longer-term goals into shorter ones, like Selena's monthly savings goal, can help keep you on track and motivated along the way. Goals, gut, check. Ask anyone in February how they're doing on their New Year's resolution, and you'll hear many people say that they did not follow through on their goals. One reason is a lack of planning, which we'll talk about later. Another reason is that the goal isn't meaningful. If you don't truly care about a goal, you either ignore it or find yourself struggling to achieve it. Starting out your goal statement with "I should" is a major warning that it may not be meaningful to you. Should goals often reflect other people's values instead of your own? It's okay if your goals aren't the same as those of your family and friends. What matters is that your goals are important to you. Each time you create a goal, ask yourself the following question. On a scale of 1, not at all, to 5, extremely, how important is achieving this goal to me? If you can't rate a goal with at least a 3, think about whether that's a goal you really need to set for yourself. Always write down your goals and keep this list where you'll see it often. This will remind you of what you're working towards and keep you excited about it. Sometimes a goal is a matter of personal responsibility. No one has ever said that they're excited about saving to pay their taxes, but millions of Americans put aside every year for taxes because paying them is a citizen's responsibility, and they value staying out of trouble with the IRS. If you're stuck with a goal you're not thrilled about, figuring out what there is about the goal that is important to you, then rewrite it to include that feature. Reluctantly, Selena added a goal to her list, which you can see in the following table. Note the three possible reasons she might use the goal more meaningfully. Goal, I'm not excited about. Paying the library for the book I lost. What is important? I'm feeling guilty and it will be a relief to clear my conscience. I can't pay out any more books until I pay, or I can't check out any more books until I pay, and I have a term paper coming up. And I know my dad is going to keep asking me about it every week until I pay what I owe. Meaningful goals you're excited about achieving. Now that's SMART. Challenge 1-A, my SMART goals. Take what you've learned about SMART goals and create 2 or 3 on your own. Decide to succeed. Making decisions about money can be hard. Sometimes you'll have to sacrifice what you want to have now for what you really need, but can't have until later. Sometimes the best choice for you will disappoint a friend. And if you're in a relationship, your spending priorities might change, so you put off focusing on your own goals. There's really, really a perfect solution. And when you can't count on a steady income stream, making decisions about money can even be harder. All you can do is make the best decision you can with the information you have at the time. There's a simple process to help make the best possible decision. You may be using it already without even being aware of it. But once you knowingly put that process into use, you'll find it much easier to make better decisions. Let's walk through the process using a fairly easy decision. It's time for Selena to upgrade her cell phone. Does she decide on upgrades? She'll fill out the chart below. Action steps. 1, define your goal. What do you want to achieve? Selena's result. Upgrade to a new cell phone this week and spend less than $100. Establish your criteria. What are the features you absolutely must have and which ones would you like to have? It must be the same wireless network I use now and have a camera and a slide-out keyboard. I want it to be blue. I want it to be able to download a lot of apps. Choose 2 or 3 good options. Eliminate any options without your must-haves and choose a couple of the remaining options. After eliminating a bunch of models, there are 3 that I like that either are blue or have a lot of apps. Identify the pros and cons. If you have a lot of criteria and options, you may want to make a chart to quickly compare the features of each option. The blue one has the fewest number of apps available, and I can't change that, but I could buy a blue case for it. Of the other two, the less expensive one actually has better consumer ratings. Decide what's best. What option best matches your criteria? I'm going to go with a less expensive, higher rated black phone with a lot of apps. Evaluate the result. Afterwards, note what you do and don't like about your choice so you can add that to your criteria for next time. Love it, but next time I really would love a blue one. One decision will spark a chain of additional decisions to be made. For Selena and her cell phone, the other decisions might include where to buy it and which accessories to get. For each new decision, you simply start with the decide process all over again. The plot thickens. Selena's decision was fairly easy because she was choosing between similar items. Economists call what you give up the opportunity cost of the decision. For Selena, all she gave up was the cell phone's color, which she realized she could take a few steps to fix. Decisions are tough when the choice involves giving up something important. Michael also needs a new cell phone. His carrier will give him a $50 credit toward a new model. If he wants a more expensive phone, he has to pay the difference. He is torn between an okay phone for $49 and the one he really wants, which costs $150. He has the cash because he got $100 for his birthday, but he'd like to spend that money on some new clothes. If he puts aside $25 every other week, it will take 2 months for him to save up the $100 for a more expensive phone. Should Michael buy the nicer cell phone or the newer clothes? Or are there other alternatives? Challenge 1-B, my decision. Use the decide strategy for a decision you're facing. You might want to ask your friends and family for their input to make sure you consider everything. Go online, www.hsfpp.org, to download a guide to help you decide. Plan for victory. You've analyzed what you've been spending money on and set some SMART goals to strive for. Your next step is to create the roadmap that will guide you to your destination success. Your map is a spending plan or budget. It should detail exactly how you're going to use your money to pay for things you want and need. An effective spending plan not only multiplies your chances of success, it also helps make the journey faster and easier. Without a budget, you have no idea if you're getting closer to your goals or even if it's likely that you'll ever achieve them. You make random purchases on things you don't really need. You end up kicking yourself when you don't have money left for something important. You might end up going into debt. Budgets are not meant to be like a starvation diet for spending. In fact, if your budget is too restrictive, you'll never stick with it. So the best is to create one that balances your desire to reach goals with your desire to be satisfied with the ride. Almost 60% of millionaires use a budget to manage their money. Surprising? It shouldn't be. You can't get rich by mindlessly spending all your money. A spending plan helps you manage your cash flow so you have the money to balance or pay for things you'll need and want. Managing your cash flow can be a balancing act. You either need to have enough money coming in to pay for everything, or you need to cut back on spending when your cash is limited. Activity 1.7, my income. What kinds of income do you normally receive throughout the year? Are there certain times when you seem to earn or get more money than usual? What are some predictions you can make about your income this year based on what you've earned before? Balancing act, one side. Income. Think about the money you receive, aka income, as one side of the seesaw. Income consists of any of the following: paychecks from a job, your allowance, payment for odd jobs such as babysitting or yard work, a gift card or cash for your birthday, Social Security, disability, or unemployment benefits, proceeds from selling your stuff, interest earned on a savings account. If you don't have a job, your income may not be very steady right now. Even if you're employed, your paycheck may vary if your hours change each week. That makes predicting your income harder, but not impossible. Michael and Selena's income during the school years are listed in the following chart. As you can see, Michael regularly makes about $544 a month, while Selena's income fluctuates a lot more. She says she earns about $100 a month from her occasional sitting jobs. So you have the chart. For Michael, he makes about $136 a week. Selena, zero. From their part-time jobs, babysitting or pet sitting, Michael earns zero. Selena, $100 a month. Gift cards, Michael, $100 a year. And Selena, $250 a year. Allowance, Michael earns zero. And Selena, $10 to $20 a week. Estimated monthly income, Michael, $544. Selena, $160. Balancing act, the other side, expenses. Now let's talk about the other side of the seesaw. Expenses are what you spend money on. Use the spending log to see what you have spent in the past to predict what you might spend in the future. Activity 1.8, my expenses. Use the spending log from activity 1.2, my disappearing dollars, to group your expenses into categories. Calculate what percent of your total spending is used for each category. Create a pie chart that displays your spending visually.